I'm really so excited about introducing Jidone. I met him a few years ago through my work with Street Action, who support him and his work in Burundi, which you're going to hear more about now. And I got to interview him for Third Way and rather embarrassingly cried at him while he told me his life story, trying to pretend I was this serious journalist. He spoke yesterday, not yesterday, Saturday at Hebron, and it's the first time ever, no one had a question at Greenbelt. It was quite phenomenal. We would love, if you have questions, please do ask them. We'll be doing them after his talk. And if you haven't had a chance to hear what he spoke about on Saturday, do please think about downloading it, because it does put his work into context and just the utter graciousness of the man. On which note, I'm going to let Jidone say what he needs to say. Please give a warm, warm Greenbelt welcome to Jidone Nahamani.
Thank you very much for this opportunity you give to me to share what we are doing in Burundi. Maybe some of you was not there where I had my first talk the day before yesterday, and I was talking about myself, I was sharing my testimony about what. Happening in my life from 93 when the civil war starts in Burundi. Today I'm going to talk much more about the work we do in New Generation, but I'll be back. Sometimes I'm going to go back and some things I've already said in my first talk. I apologize, my English is not very good, but we speak French in our country. But I'm going to try. If you don't understand, maybe you can ask some questions at the end, and I can clarify what I said, maybe which was not very, very clear to you. I go back again to my presentation, my introduction. My name is Jidone Nahimana. I'm from Burundi. I'm married. I have one wife and three children. In Africa, we need to be clear with this. A boy and two girls. For those who don't know where Burundi is a small country of 27,000 square kilometers in center of Africa. In what we call Great Lakes region. And maybe for those who don't know where it is, we have in North Rwanda. Rwanda is, many times they say, is a twin country to Burundi, because we speak the same language, we have the same culture, we had the same problems, and there's no a big difference. It's only the borders. Between the two countries. We have on the east, we have Tanzania, goes from east, northeast to southeast. And we have on west, we have Congo, DRC Congo. It's a small country, but beautiful. Everything is green. And with a population who's between 8 million and 9 million Burundian, who are 60% more than they're under 25 years old. It's a very country where many people are very young, and as you know, as African, we like to dance and sing and talk. Even for 40 minutes, it's very hard for me to say everything. As we say in Africa, we don't have watch, but we have time. We have time to talk. Something we have to give to someone we love is to have give time and talk and say, share everything. I was really amazed. Something that's amazed me here is like how you can sit with someone for 4 years, for 4 hours or 3 years, hours, but you don't introduce yourself. In train and in Africa, you just jump in the bus. The first thing is, I'm Dieudonné, I'm doing this, this, and this. And I'm sorry if maybe I say too much. It's because I feel home. I'm going to start by telling you about what happened in Burundi from 93. I can't go back so far because many things happened from the colonialism time to 93. Burundi was colonized by Belgian people. First of all, there were Germany who came, but they didn't stay longer. And Belgian came, and they took control of Congo, DRC Congo, Burundi, and Rwanda. And Burundi before was a kingdom, a very strong kingdom, as other countries just surrounding Burundi. And we was like a one kingdom, unified, one language, one culture, and a kind of there was kind of religion which was one for everybody. It was not Christianity, but people was in the same was believing in one God, and they had someone who was like the priest between population and God. But since the colonialism time, our country start to become divided, and in three tribes, or what we call maybe sometimes ethnic group, the Twa, the Batwa, or some call them Pygmies, who are 1% of the population, and the Tutsis, who are 14% of the population, and the Hutus, who are 85% of the population. And during the colonialism time, the colonialists have used these differences to give some kind of favor for some ethnic group and against other one. And at the end of 50s, there was a movement of fight for independence. And because of what was happening that time, it started to be fighting between Hutu and Tutsi. The Tutsi was on the power. The Belgian have helped them to become strong and be powerful and take control of the leadership of the country. And the Hutus, majority was working and farming and working to help Tutsis. And this kind of difference started to bring kind of anger and hatred between the two tribes. At the end of 50s, it started to be some fighting. Maybe someone know about what happened in Rwanda in 59. This happened too in Burundi at the end of at the year of 61. And there was fighting between Hutu and Tutsi. In 72, there was another kind of genocide happening, and many Hutu left the country and went to go to stay in Rwanda, in Tanzania, in other areas. But in that time, they start to plan also to come back. And I can't go in details of that. In 93, it was the first time we had the first president was democratically elected. He was a Hutu from Rwanda, and he came. He was Burundian, but he studied in Rwanda, and he came and he took power in our country in 93. And after 3 months, he was killed by the soldiers, who was majority Tutsis. And from that time, Hutu kill many Tutsis because it was like a kind of genocide already planned. And that time, The president was killed on 21st October 93. My father with the 19 other members of my family and other many people I knew was killed on 22nd. My father was killed with 19 other members of my family, and they was put in forced. Until now, I don't know where the body of my father was put. And this was a beginning of the very, very hard time for our country, which take like around 15 years in a severe war. But before I talk in details about war, because here I'm here to share about forgiveness and reconciliation, I want to go back in really what was happening and what happened in our country since I was born in my country. Just give you some few ideas what happened. In our country, Burundi is one of the three poorest country in the world. And I grew up in an area where you can't have 3 meals by day, even 2 meals by day. You can have access very easy to have access to school, to clinic. I remember when I was very, very young, to go to a clinic, it was taking like around 3 days on a bike. My father was taking me on a bike and got for the clinic. It's a very poor area. And I grew up in my heart feeling that to be a victim of a kind of injustice around me. But it was not very easy to know who to blame, who is the one who make this happen in our country. In our country, as I told you, there was also a kind of a social injustice. Somehow, in the beginning, I was feeling that to be someone who have a kind of favor, because my father used to work for the government, and I had some opportunities to go to school. Few children of my city had the opportunity to go to school. I had the opportunity to start my primary school there, and also I was not really in very, very very, very poor life, because my father was trying to work and bring some things at home. Sometimes we had some opportunities to have 2 meals by day, and somehow I was feeling myself unjust. When I saw some of my friend, we played together at school, and we was sharing many things. They was not able to go to school as I was able to go to school. They was not able to have a chance to maybe sometimes have some bread, because sometimes like on a holiday, when it was like on Christmas Day or Easter, we was able to have meat and bread, which was not really something common. Bread was for us on Christmas Day and on Easter. My father was able to go to buy some bread, flour, and bring it, and some meat also. And I was feeling somehow in a level of life where I'm privileged than other children, the Batwa, the Hutu, who was just around our house. And I was just feeling, what can I do to help my friends? To give you some details, I grew up as a Tutsi, but from the beginning, you feel that there is a difference between Hutu and Tutsi, but you don't know exactly what it is. But for example, the Batwa was not allowed for them to come inside our house. It was like impossible for them to come and use. If they ask for water, we have to give them water, but in something that you can bring back in house. If something have the glass or something used for to give them the water have to stay outside the house, and you can't bring it in the house. There was this kind of differences, but there was my friends. We was praying together, but I was feeling there is something I don't understand exactly what it is. In when I just arrived in the third degree and in primary school, I was there, and one day they came to do a kind of registration of students, and they ask, who are you, your father, your nationality, your religion? And when I say that I'm a Burundian, like the half of the classroom say, no, he's lying. I say, why they say I'm lying? One of the students who's my friend, he just stand up, he say, the Tutsis are not Burundian. And I was just feeling, I didn't know that I'm Tutsi, I didn't know exactly what happened. I was seeing that it's coming of difference, but I didn't know that I was not Burundian. And I remember I go back home and asked my father, why you didn't tell me that I'm not Burundian? He say, who said that to you? I say, at school they said that I'm not Burundian. And it was very difficult for him to explain what really happened. But that time I start to feel in my heart that there's something, there's different between people in my community. And I start to feel that I need to be careful. And I start to realize that there's something that I go up there was telling me, don't go this place to eat their food. What if they give you something to drink? Don't take this because they can give you poison and you can die. And I start to realize that in my community, even I was feeling very, as a young children, very happy to play football, to be with my friends. But I start to realize that there's something, what I don't understand really, what is coming from, which make difference between people. And this start to become very heavy in my heart. And it was continuing like this. But at the same time, I start to think, how can I help my friends also to have a chance like I had, to have opportunity to maybe to come inside my house? And I was keeping talking, discussing with my parents, but they was keeping telling me that there is a big difference. We need to be careful, and if I don't, if I'm not care, maybe I can die. And I remember because in our area where I grew up, there's a lot of witchcraft. And every morning we was wake up and find something the witchcraft come and did to our house. And sometimes there was a kind of sickness which you cannot explain. Even it's not very easy for me to explain here because you can't understand when you see like my mother with his feet. She feel very 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 bad, and someone come and start to do something, and without to do nothing, you see some kind of stones come out of the feet of my mother. I was very young, see these kind of things. It was beyond my understanding. And really, that time I was like around 12 years old, I start to feel some heaviness in my heart. And try to understand, this is how the world is. This is what God really planned for me. Why do I have to grow up in area like this? But it was keeping, try to make life easy. I was working in a farm. My father was giving me some land to cultivate and grow some coffee, grow some vegetables. I was feel maybe everywhere in the world is like this. I didn't know that there's some places where you can find very beautiful houses like this, or people can have enough food, or they can be friendly and be together and without feeling this kind of heaviness in their heart of to be careful every time, to not to trust anybody. And until when I just finished my primary school, before the war starts, I had an opportunity to go to a town near to where the city, a small city near where we grew up. And that time I discover another kind of life, beautiful houses and people who are developed the cars, start to see a car. I remember my first time I saw a car, I was finishing my primary school. It was very, very, very big surprise for me to see a car. I remember that day. From that day, I was going taking like 4 or 5 hours walking to go to see the car of the priests. Just go, just nothing, not for the service or something, but just saying the priest is in this area because he'll be bringing a car. I was going there. It was an Italian priest, just to look at the car and see how the car, this kind of thing, take people inside. And really, this is kind of life I grew up in. I don't want to take time on this, but just to give you a picture of how my life, in the beginning, I started to feel a kind of heaviness. And this was bringing to me a confusion, because we have to go to church every Sunday. I grew up, all my parents and my aunts and others are really involved in Catholic Church. Some are priests, others are nuns. And myself, they prepare myself to be also a priest. But it was really confusing my mind. How God, who is good, they tell me is good, allow me to grow up in these areas. When I start to see there is some other people who have another kind of life, why he choose for me to grow up in area like this where I don't have hope, when I see injustice around me and really every kind of things I cannot understand. But in the same time, I was keeping thinking, what can I do to come out this situation? And when the war starts in 1993, things become so very, very, very bad. Before, my heaviness was just only because of the how poor we were, and then how this kind of social injustice was around me, and this kind of things, everything was going in my mind. But I have never see people kill each other. And when the war starts, I was just starting my secondary school and boarding school, and my father and other members of my family was killed. I can't go back in these details. But in the area where I was, killing starts, and I was there. It's very difficult to explain, to see when you are in classroom. You have spent 6 or 3 months together in the classroom. Everyone, you are friend, you don't know who come from where. And suddenly, things changed. And you see in classroom a group, and you have to choose where to be. I had a big problem because to continue to secondary school, I have to go to so far in south, because in my area, for political reasons, it was impossible to continue to secondary school. You have to win the exam. You have to go in south, where the people who was on power in politics was coming from, and they was giving chance to people from south to have opportunity to go to secondary school. And when I went there, the war started. And when the war started, the big issue was people there, they was not trusting me as from Tutsi ethnic group. Why? Because the only thing people was look at quickly before they kill you, it was the nose. It's nose? Oh, okay. Sometimes confused with the noise and nose. And when you have very good nose like you, it was very easy to say, this is a Tutsi. And I was coming from the Tutsi tribe, who supposed to have very good nose like for white people. But because of a mix with my mother was come from an ethnic group who was mixed between Hutu and Tutsi, my nose was look like a nose for the Hutus. And I remember the beginning of the war, some friends, we have to divide ourselves, Tutsi on side, Hutu on the side, and I went to the Tutsi side, but they say, no, you are lying. First of all, you are come from north. There's no Tutsi there. Secondly, your nose show us that you are not really a Tutsi. And I was between the two. I don't know what to do. But I have, the only thing is I had to use telling them that my father was killed as a Tutsi. Okay, they can trust me, but not really trusting me. And you can imagine to see children, young people in secondary school, 15 years old, 13 years old, take one other child who grew up, who was the same place, and put in, you see the tire of a car, his tire for the car, and put in this around him and put fire. This was happening like every day. Or you see another day, there was kind of killings. I can't tell details. And that, like if someone is pregnant, they have to open to see if she's pregnant of a boy. If it was a boy, they have to kill the baby who was in the womb. It's, it tells, it was really, really, my father and the members of my family, how they was killed, they took them in a place, and they didn't kill them quickly. They was just cutting some, like, and for long, they take like two or three days before they died. Some, there's a friend of mine, I grew up with him, they put him in toilet, and he took like one week before he died. He was keeping crying, asking for help. There's another friend who was on the side of those who was killing, who told me the details, what, how things was happening. It was really a kind of anger. You cannot really describe and understand what is. Imagine that there's a lady who had two very, very young babies, and how they, and they come to kill, because there was not, first of all, killing ladies. They're just killing boys and men. And if you see, even if it have, it's 1 month old, but there's a boy, I was killing them. And then, and for one lady, I remember this was very, very, I'm sorry to tell you this, but just to tell you what I saw in my, with my eyes, and had an impact in my life. To see a lady, they take the children, they put in something we use to, if you want to have a kind of powder of, if we want to make like kind of bread, we don't have these electric things. We just put in something. Isekuro. How are you calling? There is someone who speaks my language here. Yeah, and you see the people come to kill, and they take your children, they put in this and ask you to kill the children. They was telling to a lady like this. This was happening, and it was things I saw with my eyes. And that time, it was very, very hard for me to think how God is exists, or he can, how this kind of things can happen. And that there was many, many different things happening. And see, there's a school not far from where I was at school. They took like around more than 120 children in school who was Tutsi, and they took them in one classroom, and they put fire on this classroom. Even now is a monument. And all those children was, they died inside. This was happening every day during the first year, second year, and I was going in through these kind of things. For not to take long, very long time, I just want to go to what happened the time I was seeing these kind of things. We start to decide with other friends that we need to do something to stop this continue to happen. And we start to come together and come to discuss and see what can we do. Because many of our friends, they join different group, rebellion group, go to fight and get to be in group of gangs or going to kill others. But me and other friends asked them to come and to see what we can do without using violence. Because I remember one day we was just with my friend, we used to be together, and another boy came. He was not from our ethnic group, and they asked him to stop. And he stopped, and they asked, why you are passing by here? Because our city was divided, Hutu on the side and Tutsi on the side, and it was like impossible for someone from another ethnic group to come and pass by our area. He came, he was just an innocent. And that time, someone took his knife to, was want to kill him, and it was impossible for me to keep looking. And they tried to ask me to do this. I say, I can't. They say, if you choose, we kill you, or you kill him. And at the end, it was impossible for me to do this. And I just close my eyes, I say, if you want to kill me, I don't have choice. From that day, I realized that I don't have this capacity to kill, and they killed the child, the boy, put just outside the road. And from that day, I just feel, no, I can't do this, and also I can't continue to allow to be in this kind of life. Because this was happening every day. Someone he used to work in my brother's house, come to see me, and he was not from my ethnic group, and Christian. He was feeling, say, I'm free. I don't have to care about this. And just 5 minutes, he said goodbye. He went back to the bus. Someone come running and say, come to see your friends who come to see you. There's some boys who stop him, and go and try to help him. When I just arrived, they was just finished to kill him, and they was just taking him aside the road. All this event just come in my mind. I think, God, what can I do? Just keeping watching, or we can do something. And I start to gather young people from different ethnic group in area, in town. That time I was staying in the town, because it was impossible for me to go back home. I was on the street in Bujumbura. And we start to think how we can fight for peace, how we can fight to stop this. But we didn't have strength, because the war was going on everywhere. But we start to come together and thinking and discussing where this is coming from, why this is happening in our country. And as I told you maybe before, those who was there day before yesterday, is when in 95 someone come and take me to a program where Christian was together, was praying together, sharing some food. And I went there, and they was talking about how we can be reconciled with God and what Jesus did. I just went there just for food, because that time I was not believing in God. I was just telling other young people that there is no God. We don't need to lose our time thinking to go to church or pray, because this God who's not able to protect my father and stop this war is not a God. He's not able to do something. And from that time, 95, the guy who was preaching, there was people from different churches, Catholic church, Protestant church. He was together sharing food, and at the same time discussing about the Word of God. And he clearly started to talk about how God loves us, and he has sent Jesus to come to save us. But I was not really, I knew this for a long, 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 long time. I think there's nothing new he's telling us. But he presented this in a way where clearly I start to understand why what was happening in our city, in our area, was happening. Because when he was saying, God loves us, I have a good plan for every one of us, I was thinking, Burundians are 90% Christian. But priests was involved in killings. Pastors was killing, involved in killings. Church in churches, people. I remember a place where people come in the church just to be like a refugees. Other members of the church killed them. This was happening everywhere. And I was saying, if maybe you talk, say something else, not Christianity, I'm going to understand. Because I grew up a Christian, I know about Jesus, everything you talk about, and why this happened in area where 90% of people say they are Christian. And that time he was really simple, explain how to be a Christian is not to go in a church, is not to be baptized, just to go there. It's just to accept the truth of the gospel and in your heart and let the truth change your life. And he was explaining how many people go to church because they grew up in this. If they have to grow up in an area where there's no Christianity or church, they was just grow up in this kind of thinking. And that time, things started to change in my mind. I started to realize that people are doing this because really, even they grew up in Christian community, they didn't accept really to be changed by the truth of the gospel. And this became very strong to me that time, and then I decided to start to read the Bible and to try to understand what Jesus was teaching. And in few days, I have already finished to read Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7, where Jesus was talking about how to be blessed and to be happy. If you have to, you have to forgive others and so on. I know you know about this. And from that time, we decided to start an organization called New Generation. This organization, we just started to say, we are going to be a new generation of people who are going to change the situation of our country by non-violence. And we started talking about this. We started to discuss about the truth of the gospel. And we start to have many, many young people join us, come and in our programs, and we start to organize different march and events. And when hundreds of young people come together, and we start to say that we have now to forgive, but not only to forgive, we need that, first of all, to change in our heart, to accept the truth of the gospel in our hearts, not as a theory we have in our mind, but something really come in our hearts. And we was keeping reading the Bible and just try to understand, even we was coming from different churches, some of them was not going to church because many of us, the three children who was coming in the same place we was gathering every Thursday evening. And we keep discussing and we start to learn how to pray. My time is almost finished. I have to go quickly because I can maybe go in some details. But really, what I want to share with you is that the gospel of Jesus is not just some good ideas to help people to have some kind of moral ideas, but it's also a power which can transform our lives. I saw this in many lives of young people in my country, first of all, starting by mine. Because when I discovered the love God loved me, sending Jesus and died on a cross for me, and when I have discovered that God forgave me as a sinner, not because I did something to ask him to forgive me, from that time I realized that what was happening around me, it was not God who was allowing this, but because people are hypocrites, they let the devil using them, doing things even if they give the Christian name on what they are doing. And from that time, I realized that he changed really my heart. When I discovered that is the day when I go back, when I the time I go back to the area where I grew up, And after maybe 15 minutes near to where I went to see where the used to be our house, and I find the man who I knew, he was in prison for 2 years, but after they let him go, who came to take my father home and take to kill him, and attacked him to go to kill him. And suddenly I was just walking there, and I see him there in front. He didn't recognize me, because it was some years ago, and I saw him. But in my mind, I was thinking, well, the day I see him, I'll kill him. Or I'll try to do something. If I even if I can kill him, I'll try to do something because of what, the heaviness I had in my heart. But after taking this time, reading the Bible, and know what the love of God, and start to pray, I saw him, and I was feeling love. I was thinking, it's someone who really need the help. It's not me who need help. He need help. He did something bad. He didn't someone who can. He wants someone who can help him to change. And I got to see him. I greet him. He didn't recognize me. And after some minutes, tell him I'm Dieudonné. He just tried to run. I said, no, don't worry. But I just come to tell you that as God forgive my sin, and also I come to tell you that I forgive you. He was crying. I say, I don't have many things else to do or to say, but I feel that I have to forgive you, and I want to help you to come out this situation. And God is there. God is love. He can forgive everyone who did even very bad thing, and he can give you a new heart to be someone who can do good. Even if you did something bad, he changed my life. He can change you. This was really powerful. Myself, after that time, come back to me and say, it's really me who did this. But I discovered that the truth of the gospel really changed my heart. It was the beginning of a big program of reconciliation. And we start to go and bring many young people, come together, those who have killed each other, Hutu and Tutsi, and come and take time to discuss like this. And then someone come and stand and say, I ask for forgiveness. I did this. And I'm sorry now. I understand I was wrong because of what this happened. And someone else wake up, stand up and say, forgive you, or ask for forgiveness. This, I have prepared many things, but as I told you, as an African, I was thinking maybe I have all day to talk. I have many things, testimonies to share with you, but even now, connect to what I'm doing every day, we do in our organization, we face many, many challenges. I work with street children. Before I be married, I was with 30 street children in my house where I was staying. This was house of a businessman who gave me the house. He saw me working with the street children to take care of his house. And I was with 30 street children. They was not from the same ethnic group. And I have to raise them in the way they can feel that they are brothers and sisters. And I have to give all things I have to them, and as a family. And after I was married with one lady who came as a volunteer to help me in New Generation. And before we be fiancé, I didn't know that she was from ethnic group different with mine. And after we was married, and I had many problems with my family. My brothers and the other members of my family in 95, 96, they asked me to choose to give up what I'm doing and continue to have a support from my family, or to continue what I'm doing and the family is not there for me. I choose to continue to do what I'm doing, and the family decide to give up, to continue, even to go to see them. It's now only from 2003-04, I start to go to see some of my siblings. But before, between 96 to 2003, it was impossible for me to go there to visit them. But many other bad things happened, was really, really heavy in my life. One of these, is one day I discovered that one of the Masri children I was taking care of have abused of my daughter of 3 years. It was very, very hard for me because this, my family who have already told me that I have to stop to do what I'm doing, and other friends, they say, you have to give up everything you are doing because even you are helping these children, you see that they are going to do wrong things to you. It was really hard. And my family took my children and my wife away, and I have to choose. They say, you have to choose. You stop every programs you are doing for this program of New Generation, and you go to find a job somewhere, and you take care only of your family. Or we continue with this, but the family take your children and your wife to another country, and you are going to stay alone. And I have take time to pray. God have opened me a door and find a way how I can separate my family with the work I'm doing. And I was able also to face a situation of forgiveness. To see a child you have helped from the street doing such bad thing to my children. She went in prison for some days. But in the same way, I have to work on this. Even was very, very hard for me, more than when I knew that my father was killed. This is one of the many things continue to happen in my lives and continue to happen in work we are doing. But the last thing I can just tell you is that when you forgive, and when you forgive someone who did something bad to you, it's not for him. It's for you. Before I forgive, it was very difficult for me to sleep. It was very difficult for me to, because every time in my dreams and everything was keeping coming back. But the time I say I forgive, I start to feel free. But secondly, when you just say you forgive, it's not enough. It's not enough to say I forgive someone. To forgive, maybe, is, I'm not sure if my English is good, but there is something called, that is forgive, there is give maybe somewhere. Maybe it's not, my English is not correct. You really forgive when you are able to do good for someone who did something bad to you. I remember when I go back to my area where I grew up, the man come, the one who came to take my father to go to kill him. I was giving clothes and food for some Batwa children. And he came with his daughter. And he asked me, can you give me some clothes for my daughter? I said, we are giving only for the Batwa children. But I was feeling in my heart, this is, you have to prove that really you forgive. Do something good for his children. And now, his children, that every time I go back to area, I go up, we do a kind of program when we give gifts of clothes, food, and school materials to the children. His children on this program, they're receiving something. Many people are suffering just because they don't want to give up something, and they don't want to go and do good for someone who did something bad to them. And they become frustrated, depressive, because they're keeping things inside of them. God loves us, he gives his son. His son loves us, he gives his life. And 1 John 3:16, God loved the world, he gave his son to save us. But 1 John 3:16 say, he, Jesus, gave his life for us. And we have to give our life also for those, for our brethren. It's very important to understand that if you want to feel free in this world, love your enemies and do good for them. It's the reason why I have many opportunities to go to stay somewhere else. And if you ask to stay here now, you can help me maybe to stay here. But I don't want to stay here. I still have many things to do there. To see this generation of my country grow up with the true gospel in their heart and start to do good for those who did bad for them. And then we can build a new generation which will change and will make an impact for the future of our country. I'm going to stop there. I can't say everything I had to say.
Sorry we had to stop you. Jidai really does love talking to people, so if you see him here around. Jesus said, leave my mother and father and follow me. Wow, you're amazing. We do only have a few minutes, but if anyone does have any questions, please, we'd love to hear them.
I basically want to ask you, I believe exactly what you've done, and I've learned that from my own experience, how by giving to the one who has offended you, things can happen and change, and you feel the forgiveness in your heart and you have the freedom. But I actually want to ask you, do you feel, because this is part of my own experience, is that until that person who has offended you asks forgiveness, can true reconciliation come about?
Yes, maybe I didn't talk about really, I didn't go deep in about the reconciliation. I just started by just talking about forgiveness. First of all, to forgive someone, you don't need, first of all, someone to ask you to forgive him. Because sometimes when someone comes to ask you to forgive him, he's the one who have the first step. You just give what he already had have to have access to. But you forgive someone just when you realize that he did something. Jesus say that in very, very good way. Say, Father, forgive them because they don't know. If this man knew that one day I'll be there, like still alive, I'm sure now, if he knew that to kill my father it was not something benefit for him, you're not going to do this. It's because he didn't know the truth. And I just help him to understand that is, if you did something bad because you don't know, there is a truth that can give you freedom and you can now change your mind how you think. But true reconciliation, yes, you can forgive someone even if they don't ask you for forgiveness. You can start to do something good even if he don't maybe allow you to do this. But the true reconciliation starts when he really receives your forgiveness. If he really come and say that, yes, I receive. But the only thing for you, you are already reconciled with him. He have his step to do. And don't say, I want him to do the step and then I'm going to say I'm reconciled with. You are already reconciled with him the time you just forgive and you are ready to do something good for him. And it's his step he have to do. He have his step. He can stay in this situation. It's about him. But you are already reconciled with him because you have already forgive and open a door for him to come to you. And yes, you don't go on to force him to do something for you, but you feel this freedom. God have reconciled us to him when he have give his son and he died for us. Someone cannot accept. Someone don't believe in God. But God did what he have to do for people to be reconciled with him. It's the reason why, for me, I'm already reconciled with the someone I forgive and I do good for him, even he don't accept that we are together or we are reconciled. And 90%, this give opportunity for him to do the next step. And after that, we can be together and work together for good, for the future.
The reason why I asked the question is 13 years ago, my wife left me, and I actually discovered 2 years after that I was divorced without even knowing of it. I'd felt deep within my heart that God, that I was forgiving to her and doing everything I could, which she could, as far as she could accept it. But 2 years ago this summer, she asked for forgiveness from me. And then, since that, in these last 2 years, well, we're actually both here together mm-hmm. with my granddaughter at Greenbelt.
Okay. Yes, it's possible.
We only have time for one more question. Does anyone... Oh, Lordy, I'm so sorry. Just have to go close. But if you see him around, just ask, please. Or on Facebook. Facebook?
Yes.
Yeah. Thank you for your talk. I wanted to ask if there's anything we can say to those who feel betrayed when we forgive. So when we take a decision to forgive somebody and somebody else has not taken that decision and they feel betrayed by us because we've forgiven someone because, you know, you've both been hurt. So.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if I really understand the question.
Saying that there's other people involved mm-hmm. that don't understand that step of forgiveness and perhaps don't understand how you can forgive when they have also been hurt. So there's two people and then one other.
Okay. Yeah, I think...
Oh, many, many.
Yeah. Maybe I can't have enough time to say about this, but I shall just share what happened in my life. The only very important thing you need when you have to do the step of forgiveness, it's just this freedom inside of you to know that you open. Because many people, my brothers, I have brothers, they really don't understand. They think that I'm crazy how I'm going to do something to area where my father was killed. And even now, I have some problems because when... Sometimes they want to do bad things to the people who did bad things to my family. But I'm on side for them to defend them, to say that you don't have to do this because I'm there. And the only thing is that when you take this position, they take time also to think about how really you get there. And maybe they're going to understand or not. But what I'm sure is that it's like, forgiveness is connected to humility. It's when you go deep down there. It's like if someone wants to fix something on this projector and you stand and he stand on here and he's there and he thinks he have a right to do everything there, but you just go to a need. He realizes that he can't go there and he say, he know that he needs you to stand and he can fix what he have to fix. Some people, when they see you forgive and want to understand people who did bad thing to you, they think you are crazy. But when you are humble, sometimes they will come back to you and ask, how can you help us to also become free? Because even we don't understand you, but you are happy. You feel good than we do. How can you help us to be there where you want? Say, the only step is to come back and do what I did and forgive who you have to forgive. If I don't know if I understand the question, but is that don't lose your time. Try to explain to other people why you did what you did. But they're going to see the fruit of what you did in your life. And you would like to have this fruit. And you tell them, to have access to this fruit, you have to do this. I'm free. I'm here, I'm talking, I'm traveling in different countries of the world. Why? Not because I'm someone who did many other things, because one day in 90s, I had to go and I forgive someone. And now when my brothers ask me, how you can go from Burundi to UK? Because one day, even it was very hard, I did something. You were thinking maybe it's crazy, but this gave me freedom even to go to different places to share what I had. And you see, you're still frustrated, continue to think about what bad things people did for us, but I'm not going forward, do other things because I have already give up what really was hurting me. Don't just try to please people. If people, everyone understand you because you need to take this tape. Take this tape and other people will see the fruit and they ask you, how can we get there? And you show them it's only by passing by there, but only by the strength come from the Spirit of God. Because sometimes we try with our mind, is not very easy. But when you discover the love of God for you, it's very easy to do the step and forgive those who did very wrong things to you. But don't keep, please. I don't know, but I can maybe close with this. There's someone. Must be someone somewhere in your life. You may be blamed because you don't do this because someone did this. There's no one on the earth who have power to stop you to be where God created you to be. There's no one in the earth who have power to take away your peace, your joy, your future. Only when you allow him to have access inside of your heart. If someone did something which keep coming back in your mind, in your heart, do the first step. Forgive. Not only forgive, do something for good for him or for his children. And this will give you freedom and your eyes will start to be open and you start to benefit of what God created you to do and where God created you to be. For the moment, no one on this earth have the capacity to stop me to be happy. I'm really happy. I'm really happy. I have joy. I have peace in my heart. It's not depend to if I have 2 feet or one. No, it's only because I know that I'm here to contribute to someone else's life. And even someone, people can keep doing bad thing, but do the first step. If there is someone you remember, and even you came in green belts, keeping thinking how you can forget this in your mind, don't try to forget, don't try to just take away the pictures, but go and do something good for him. God bless you.